In all things we do bless you tonight, our precious Abba, as we gather in the tabernacle to assemble ourselves to worship you. We thank you for your greatness. We thank you for your deliverance. We bless you for the precious hope in Yahshua HaMashiach the Lamb, Israel. We ask in your mighty name that you will strengthen the house today, the people of Yahweh, in every nation, every place, wherever they are gathered. We ask your anointing and your strength to rest upon them all. We pray that your message tonight will go forth, that it will touch the love of your people, that they may be instructed to understand what is the command of Almighty Yahweh. For we need your understanding in this hour above all things. We need the knowledge of your truth. We need to know how to walk in the power of your truth, that we may oblige you in all things. We pray that every shackle of darkness off the minds of the people will be broken, that they will hold fast to your truth and deny even their own flesh and their own ways. We ask you to strengthen us all tonight, those that are listening wherever they are listening by the live stream, those that are with Brother Nathan, and wherever they're listening in the United States of America or whatever. We ask you to bless them and to strengthen them tonight. We ask you to bless your people here and to strengthen us all. We pray for the shalom of Jerusalem. We pray for your people that are scattered in many parts of the world, that they will be strengthened tonight, and that the word tonight will be a great blessing to their life. In all things we ask in HaMashiach's mighty name, that bless us as we sing, as we bless you, as we praise you. We will bless you for that and magnify you for all of your mighty blessings. In the mighty name of Yahshua the Lamb, Israel, we bless you, we praise you. And all the people of Yahweh cried, Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
The waters so much more, look at that,
you more than gold or silver. Come on.
I want you more than gold or silver only. You can satisfy. You alone are the real joy giver.
Come on, you're my friend and you're my Abba.
You're my friend and you are my Abba, even though you are my King. so much more than anything. You
sing that second chorus. I want you more than gold or silver. Come on.
I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. You
friend, you're my Abba. Come on, and sing it like you mean it.
You're my friend, and you are my Abba, even though you are my King. I love you more than any other. So much more than anything.
Come on and sing. Sing that again, you're my friend. Sing it like you mean it. Come on. I like what it says. Come on.
You're my friend, and you are my Abba, even though you are my King.
Come on, lift your hands and your voices unto the Shomai
Hama
and worship Yahweh. Hallelujah,
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 hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on and lift your hands and shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Way.
Come on and shout hallelujah.
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 For in this day we do bless you, our precious Abba. We bow before you this night as we assemble ourselves. We do pray that we will hear from the Shemayim. We say to you, speak to us, that we may hear and understand and know. We ask you to anoint your man servant that he may speak with clarity and understanding for the house of Israel. And all the people of Yahweh cried, hallelujah, way.
Hallelujah,
way. Look to your neighbor and say, good to see you. Yahweh blesses you. You may be seated. For he is good, he is wonderful, and his mercies endure forever. And what a wonderful time to be in the presence of our Abba. Nothing more precious than that. As the song says, did I love you more than anything, so much more than anything. And that's the heart that we need in this hour, to actually show that we truly love him. Now, how is that done? Because of our verbiage, because we express that. There's a faithfulness and obedience unto his Torah. And we obey everything that he commands us. And we do it with great delight. And that we do it with great love toward him. We take pleasure in obeying him. Now, this is a generation that has been bewitched. And I say that because it is a bewitched mindset in this generation. There's a mind that is turned away from Yahweh and truth. It has no desire for Torah to govern their lives. And everything that Yahweh does, he does it in order. Our lives are meant to have order to them. Our lives are meant to be disciplined by Yahweh. And what has happened through the subtlety of darkness, through this vileness of Hollywood and whoredomhood, it has deceived the mindset today to bewitch man to turn away from Yahweh. And the appetite today, it is one that is carnal and fleshly. We know that the carnal mind is enmity. It hates Yahweh. It despises Yahweh. It is enmity against Yahweh. The carnal mind is not even subject to the Torah. Neither indeed can it have an affection for the Torah. So this is a generation that is totally given over unto fleshly aspirations. It has nothing to do with the coming of HaMashiach. Has nothing to do with the love of Yahweh. Has nothing to do with serving him in this generation. And what has taken place, because the mind has been so bewitched, we have these pseudo-type false images today. And this false doctrine that is based upon a fleshly lust and a love for the things of the flesh, it is not of Yahweh. Yahweh reminds us in Malachiah. He says to the house of Yehuda, he says, I want to tell you something, Yaakov. He says, I am Yahweh and I don't change. He doesn't change at all. Nothing about Yahweh change. He does not change. His word has not changed. And what he has given us by the written text of scripture in the scroll, it has not changed. The man has done all he could to change it. He has done all he could to alter it. He has done all he could to make it fitting or appeasing to the natural mind. But Yahweh has not changed one bit at all. His truth has not changed. He is from everlasting to everlasting. And his truth, or his truth, his Torah, is the truth. And so he has not changed. Man says, we have a new generation, so things must be altered. We must accommodate them. We must make sure that this antiquated type message, it must change according to the time. Yahweh does not change. He is the one that changed the times and the seasons. He's the one that is in command and control of the times and the seasons. His word never changed. And he will not change it for one of us. Don't think that he will. He will not alter one thing, the Shemayams, and the earth shall be moved away, but not one jot or tittle shall pass from the Torah of Yahweh. What he has spoken unto Israel, it is written.
And the reason it is written so that you will not have any excuse at all, not just in the pages of the book, but he said, I will put this in the inward parts of true Yisrael. I'll write it upon the table of their love. I will put it in their mind and their inward parts. And they're going to be without any kind of excuse. Everyone is not Yisrael. Everyone is not of the remnant hope. Everyone is not of the seed of the remnant of Yisrael. You have a false pseudo people. You have tear growing with the weeds. And he always says, let it tarry or grow together. For I will send the reapers, and they will harvest the tare. And the tare shall be rooted out, and the tare shall be taken, and the bundles and cast into the everlasting terror of Almighty Yahweh. I know this generation doesn't believe that. This generation doesn't believe Scripture. This generation has no love for Scripture. It has no appetite for Scripture. We love everything more than we love Yahweh. And we certainly do not want Yahweh to instruct us or to correct us. That is why our lives are dismal. That's why our lives have taken radical changes. Not to the best, but to the worse. We do not have the desire to please Him. He can give you 10,000 cattle and houses that are larger than Bill Gates. You will not love Him any bit more. Because I know one thing, contentment with the righteous Torah of Yahweh, if a man has that, if he has that, if he has contentment, and the Torah of Yahweh, that is a great gain to man. We suppose that the gain of things, that is the sign that Yahweh is with us. It is not the sign. When a man has a heart to please Yahweh, when a man has a desire to please Him, he's not given over unto the powers of hell. It is one thing that Shaitan has done. I want to say this. He has set up this image in America. He has set up this deceiver in America. And everything that filters through the minds of the people comes from one little city of whoredom and idolatry. And every kind of vile thing takes place there. And it is called Hollywood. Every kind of sin that is conceived of, every kind of altering or mindset, it is ministered through the power of that kingdom, that where it's come from. And I was reading the other day, I found it to be that Hollywood got the name Hollywood from literally the tree Hollywood. And as I began to search, I began to find out that the witches wand, one of the most important woods, is the Hollywood. When I began to look at the prices of these things they call wands to cast spells upon people, to bewitch them, I was amazed. And so Hollywood took that name from the power of the witch's wand, the Hollywood, because it all has its place with pagan rituals and idolatrous worship. And so everything that comes through Hollywood, it bewitches and alters the minds of the people. That's why people are sitting in trances before Hollywood. And they indoctrinate the minds with doctrines of deceit and death and denial and separation of Yahweh. A man will spend more time in front of the television than he will spend in Scripture. A woman will spend more time in front of Hollywood than she will before Yahweh prostrate to confess her sins. And it inundates the mind with sin and corruption. It fills the mind with every kind of lust, every kind of greed, every type of sadistic power there is. It comes from that Jezebel. It comes from that bewitching power of Hollywood. And she has made great strides in the homes of the people. Has she not? She has bewitched many. When one is bewitched, that one cannot obey the Torah. This is a generation that cannot obey the Torah. They got a wise answer for everything. They think they are wise, but they are foolish in their own conceits. And so Hollywood has shaped the mind today. It has shaped the attitude, the personality. It has shaped the discipline today. Not Torah. Not the teaching of Torah. Not Torah taught in the homes. Not the discipline of Yahweh being taught in the homes today. It has not come from the teaching of Torah. So they give them over unto this Jezebel spirit. They give them over unto this holy word. We are very ignorant people because we don't know. That's why we are so easily taken. We spend so much time on things that are not relevant. And we ought to spend time on the things that are relevant to life. To life. For me to live is Hamashiach. Do you all hear that? But for me to die is gain. I gain the life when this body ceases to operate in the fashion of the will of the flesh. And everything that Hollywood teaches you is to operate in the will of the flesh. It teaches you rebelliousness and rejection of truth. It teaches you to deny truth. So she has been set about the powers of hell. Names are very important. Don't think that these names just come by some coincidental way. They're carefully thought about the powers of hell. And they're instructed in the hearts of those that will be given over to serving Shaitan of the powers of darkness because they have great rewards for those that are faithful. And these are faithful individuals. They are faithful to the cause of their God. And they're rewarded with millions and millions of dollars. They're rewarded with mansions here and homes that are opulent and vehicles, $300,000 to $1 million. Now that is what Shaitan does. He rewards them in a way that people are mesmerized by them. They're overtaken by them. And they believe every word they say. They tell you how to dress. They tell you how to think. They tell you what is real worship. They tell you how to worship your God. But they cannot tell you how to love Yahweh. They cannot tell you that. And we are such a gullible people. And the reason we're gullible is because we're such a shiftless, lazy people. We don't work on our salvation. We don't work on the promises of Yahweh. We don't work on ourselves to cleanse yourself. From what? Not your neighbor's filthiness, but from the filthiness of your flesh and your ruah. So we don't work on those things to cleanse ourselves. And we find ourselves even more bitterly wicked. And when that seed of bitterness rises up, there is the only seed that will defile many. Believe me, my brothers and sisters. When that root of bitterness rises up in one, it will defile anyone. I don't care who it is. And one given over unto that, and one that is in fellowship with that root of bitterness, by that spirit many are defiled. And that is what that Jezebel does. It bewitches the mind. Remove one away from truth, whereby there is no affection for truth. We have more affection for things that are natural than we do the things of the Ruah. We don't really love Yahweh. We say we do in a formal type setting with our lips, but our heart is far from Him. Our desire is far from pleasing Him. Our affection from Him is something that is temporal for the moment. You satisfy me. You do what I want. Give me what I want. And everything is kosher or copostatic. But as far as me giving you what you desire, I will not do that. That's the mindset today. That is the heart of man today. We will not adhere or obey what Yahweh instructs us. And if we think that He has changed, you are a fool. And I say it that way. We are fools if we think that Yahweh has changed. And we think He's going to alter something for you because your looks or your emotions or your feeling. You are totally deceived. He's not going to do that at all. He speaks to the house of Israel. And that's all He speaks to. Do you all hear me? We think that He's speaking to the masses, but He's not. He's speaking to the elect seed. He's speaking to His woman. He's not speaking to this wicked world. And those that have ear, that are ears, when they hear the word of Yahweh, they will obey it. They will come to that knowledge of Yeshua. Why? Because there's a great desire in them. What is the desire of man today? Come on, look at yourself. Introspectively, what is your desire? Now, what is your desire? What is your desire? What is your mind dominated by? What are your thoughts given over unto? Is it to please Yahweh? Is it to love Him? He said with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's what He said, love Him with. He said, I require everything. I want you to love me. And when a man loves Yahweh, he will walk diligently before Him. His heart is set upon the truth of Yahweh. His mind is given over unto the teaching and the discipline of Yahweh governing his life. This is a very undisciplined generation. And we wonder why it's coming to hell the way it is. Our sons and our daughters are given over unto the powers of hell. They're not given over to Yahweh. They're not given over to love for truth. They are not in pursuit of Yahweh. They're not following after Him. He tells us emphatically to set our affection on things that are above. To set our affection on the things that are above and not on the things that are sensual and earthly. So what is the mind set today? What is it set upon? Ask your sons and daughters, where is their mind set upon? It will not surprise me because it's not set upon Yahweh. I want all you all to know this, that I will never capitulate or alter truth for anyone, not even me. I will tell you what it's going to take. You can reject it to your own destruction. It makes me no difference, period. But I will be faithful in that aspect. I will tell you that. Now, if you receive it, it's well to your being. And if you reject it, it's woe unto you. But as far as me altering things because of our emotions, because of our trials or what things we go through, I will never do that. Why? Because I know that there are those that are always suffering more greatly than a people that are fat and have much and never consider our brothers and our sisters. Never even thinking about the welfare of true brothers and sisters. And so I will not alter anything for anyone. Not one bit at all. Reject it? That's all right. You can reject me. That's all right too. I have no compunction with that. But it's one thing about the word of Yahweh. He will not alter it for you. He will not change it for you. Not for any of you. I don't care what your situation is. He will not change it. He warns the house. I want to read what he says. I don't think we understand the time we're in. I don't think that we understand what things are happening. And the reason why, because we just don't care. And that is the honest truth. We're given over unto such trivial things, the things of importance we cannot see. Our minds, we do not have the singleness of eye. We do not have a single purpose and a single heart. We have one that is dual, one that is fleshly, and we're trying to walk in the Ruah, the Spirit, and it doesn't happen that way. It is not going to happen. We must have the singleness. The purpose of Yahweh must be the thing that we focus on above everything. Just His will. Not my will, but your will be done. And everything is emphasized in our lives by the will of Yahweh. So we don't understand the time. Because we do things that are so totally against Him. The righteous man. The man that walked in the righteous Torah. He understands both time and judgment. He understands the time, the seasons. He understands the calamities that shall come upon the people. He understands the seasons of hurricanes or the weather when it changes to the extreme. But this generation is so wicked and so unrighteous and so blind, it cannot understand anything at all. And one of the most important things of value that is missing from the lives of the people is the judgment or the mishpatim of Yahweh. We take judgment lightly. We call Yahweh a liar. And the reason I say that is because when He commands us to do something and we don't do it, we are walking in rebelliousness. We defy what He says. And if we think we're going into the kingdom, we're deceiving ourselves. If we think that we're going in our way, you are absolutely wrong. If you think that's given 100%, you are already deceived. You're not even given 1%. We must obey Him in all things and everything. And you're not going to alter that because of your circumstances and your situation. I don't care if it's your son. I don't care if it's your daughter. I don't care if it's your wife. I don't care if it's your husband, your children, your kinsmen. You can't do that. Yahweh only has one thing, that's sons and daughters. He doesn't have grandchildren, great-grand. He has sons and daughters. And the family of Yisrael is a house of sons and daughters. That's it. Period. I want to begin here in Ezekiel. It says in Ezekiel chapter 14. I want you to hear this. I want to read this carefully. It is the warning of the house of Yisrael. As Yahweh speaks to Ezekiel to warn this people that is full of hypocrisy. He's letting them know the situation that is going to rise because of their falseness and their hypocrisy. He says this in Ezekiel chapter 14, verse 1. It said, then came certain of the elders of Yisrael to me, men that had the stature of leaders, men that had the oracles of Yahweh, men that knew the government of Yahweh, men that knew what Yahweh required and requested of his people, men that had an experience with Yahweh, men that understood the protocol of Yahweh, and men that were enlightened in the knowledge and truth of Torah teaching and revelation. Now that is who these elders were. They were regarded. They were men of great strength and character. They were men of fortitude and great tenacity. These men had purpose of heart. Now that is what an elder is. He walked in the sensitivity of the truth of Yahweh. He had a consciousness of what Yahweh required. Now that is what a true elder is. That's what a true elder is. Now because he's an old man, although that is somewhat synonymous with an elder of Israel, but he had a plethora of knowledge, of experience that he had acquired by his walk with Yahweh. He knew what he required. He knew his purpose. He knew Yahweh's desire. So these elders were ushered before Ezekiel for a word to hear. Now they were elders, were they not? And yet they could not hear. Somehow something had circumvented or short-circuit the ability to hear from Yahweh. Are we not walking in a generation like that? Do we truly hear? We don't hear from Yahweh unless he speaks a profound word unto us. We hear nothing. Because we hear our minds speaking. You hear your imaginations. You hear your own lust, your own hatred, your own depravity, your own iniquity, your own sin. Well, I fell because of that, sister, those brothers. You fell because of your own idolatry and your own stumbling block. And your own sin. You fell because of that. So Yahweh says, you go unto Ezekiel, the elders of Israel. They came unto Ezekiel, and they sat before him. And the word of Yahweh came unto Ezekiel, saying, now, you tell them, you speak unto the elders. He says, Ben Adam, man, son of man. These men, now first of all, look at what he identifies. We don't want Yahweh to speak to us this way. The first thing Yahweh identifies is what is in your life. That is what he identifies. Because the issues in your life, the issues that you don't love him, the issues that you don't care for him, the issues that your heart is not inspired by him. And the first thing out of the son of man, the Ben Adam's mouth, not that Yahweh loves you, not that Yahweh wants you to be rich. Look what he says. He says, Ben Adam, these men have set up their idols in their land. Not I, Yahweh. He said they have set up their idols. The things that they worship. The things that are more valuable to them than my truth. What is more valuable to you today? Men and women set up their idols today. Their children, their homes, their cars, their kinsmen's. He said, they have set up their idols in their hearts. They will transgress the Torah. They will defy the teaching of Yahweh to satisfy some natural association. He said, they have set up their idols. And this is a generation that is full of idols. You're so idle in your time that you allow idols to be established or in some form of a god to fill the void of your heart. You want to allow the word of Yahweh to fill that. So the first thing he identifies, the idols in their hearts. The idols. The message that is from darkness. The spirit that dominates their lives. What spirit dominates your life? What thing dominates you? And if there's something that is dominating you, it is an idol. I don't care what it is, it is an idol. Any kind of care, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things in rain, and the cares of this life, it chokes out the power of Yahweh's word. You wonder why you're fruitless? Because you care about everything but what Yahweh says. You care about your son, your daughter, your mama, your daddy, your wife, your husband, but you don't care what Yahweh says. You worry about the wicked, their preconceived notion of you or what they think. I don't give a nickel's worth of dog's meat what the wicked think of me. Look at what man thinks of me. I will preach this message. I will preach it with a determination, and nothing shall defy me. So first of all, he deals with the idols of the eldest hearts. He said they have idols. Look at this now. They have this satanic paganism, this ritual in their heart, and they actually think they're pleasing me. And they think they know me. They think they're walking in my truth. Whatever dominates your mind, that is your idol. Do you hear me? Whatever dominates your mind, whatever alters your emotions, whatever drives your feeling, that is your idol. That is some form of a pagan worship. That is a God practice. That is a worship of some gods. Yahweh is not a dog. He is not a god. And that is what that is. We take it so lightly that it has no relevance. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we better wise up, get our hearts clean. What does he do first of all? He examines the heart, doesn't he? Does he not examine the heart? He examines the first thing, the heart. And every time you come before the presence of Yahweh, I'm here to tell you, he's going to examine your heart. He's going to show you your idols and your idol and what's actually there. You may not like it, but that's all right. The first thing he does, he examines the heart. He shows them the issue, what's in the heart. And we don't want no one to tell us actually what's in us and what is causing us our depravity and our rejection of truth. We want someone to tell us things that will satisfy in our little wimpy feelings and our emotions. To hell with your emotions. That's what he always says. He doesn't care about that. He says they have set up. Now, no one made you do that. You set it up. Parents set up their children in their heart. Oh, I'm so proud of you. Oh, this is my son. He is so, this my daughter. My. That's their idols. Their children. Their things. Their position. That's their idol. Do you hear me? So first of all, they set up their idols in their hearts and their lives. And look what they've done. And you have put the stumbling block. You know what a stumbling block is. It is something that impedes your walk. What caused you to stumble? The wicked, they always stumble as a drunken, groping man. What caused you to stumble and fall? You have set up your stumbling blocks, and your stumbling block is your own iniquity. Your own Torahlessness, your own defiance of Yahweh's Torah. That is the stumbling block in the lives of many today. The idols and their own stumbling blocks. He had to deal with the elders first, did he not? Because the head was sick, so was the body. The elders were that way, then the body was worse than the elders. They were in bad shape. He said, it is your own iniquity that is causing you to stumble. When you stumble consistently, it is your own iniquity. When your attitude is raunchy, when it's not right, it's your own iniquity. We love to blame someone else, don't we? It's easier to do that, isn't it? It takes a man, one that has the Ruah of Yahweh, to say, it is I. Not him, but me, Yahweh. And this is a generation that will not take responsibility. It doesn't like to take responsibility. He always says it is your idols, your stumbling blocks of your own iniquity before their face. He said, now they have all this. They have their idols. They have their own stumbling blocks. He said, should I be inquired at all of them? He said, should I let them even seek me? That is the question. He's actually asking, should I let these people seek me? Should I let them require of me? Should I allow them to inquire of me? They have their own idols. The stumbling block of their iniquity has circumvented them from hearing me. What has caused you to not hear Yahweh? What has caused you to stumble? A man stumbles because he's walking in a dark way he can't see. It's difficult to see when it's dark, isn't it? And that is how the wicked walk, as a darkened, in the darkness of a drunken man. His law, his Torah, is a pathway. It is a light unto our feet. Now why should we be stumbling? Why should we be falling like drunken men? Why should we have stumbling blocks before us? It is your iniquity. It is your own iniquity. It is your own lawlessness. It's your own ways that are lawless and they're wicked. They're wicked. But I'm telling you something. I want to show you what Scripture says. It makes no difference whether you appreciate Yahweh or not. He is still Yahweh. It makes no difference whether you acknowledge that He speaks to you. We're His assemble, are we not? Did they not go to the Navi, to the prophet? Is the first thing Yahweh dealt with was their heart? He dealt with that, didn't He? So I will deal with your heart. I will deal with that. Hallelujah, Yahweh. From what? From the word of Yahweh. Not from my opinion. From the truth. From what Scripture says. And if you diligently search Scripture and read it, you will find that it always deals with your love. And show you what's there. We're people that get filthy easy, don't we? I'm already perspired. I could take a shower when I go home, but I won't. But I'm already perspiring. I feel it all in my body. I'm wet. So when you perspire, it's because there's something that is being excreted from your body, right? Is that something being expelled? So even the odor of my body will change. Smell a little funny. May not smell as good as I did when I took the shower before I came here. So I smell a little different. And that's the way we are. That's the way we are. And so we must be bathed continuously and washed. We need the fuller soap. And I'm going to give you the fuller soap. Get it all in your mouth and everywhere else. He said, why should these elders inquire, or why should they seek me? He goes on to say, he said, therefore speak to them. I will not even speak to them. I want you to speak to them. And say to them, this is what the sovereign one Yahweh speaks unto you. He says, every man of the Beit of Yisrael, of the house of Yisrael, every man that sets up his idols in his lap and put his stumbling blocks of his iniquity before his face. Now that's what they do now. He said, and they come to the Navi, or the Navi, the prophet. Listen to what Yahweh says. I, Yahweh, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols. Now that is how he's going to answer you. He said, because of the multitude of your idols, I will answer you. Your iniquitous ways, that's how he's answering this generation. That's why he's giving you what he's given you. That's why the sons and daughters are being cast into the fire of Moloch and Molcham. That's why they're given over unto the world, the appetite of the world. Why? Because what things we allow to permeate in our own hearts, our own iniquity and our own idols. And we take such sense of pride. Pride brings a fall. Any time you have pride, it brings a fall. Any kind of pride brings a fall. We don't understand the devastation of the powers of darkness that work. Yahweh say, you come to the Navi, and I'm going to ask you according to the multitude of your idols. I will answer you that way. I will speak to you according to your idols. And this is a nation that is full of idols. Everything in this nation is full of idols. Everything is idolatrous. Everything is satanic. Everything is wicked. It doesn't cause the love of Yahweh of Torah to fill a man's heart. A woman's desire. Her desire is far from Yahweh. Man, he has no strength. He's shallow today because he will not implement the true power of the Torah in his home. That's a weak man. I don't care who he is. If a man will not implement the power of Torah and the power of Yahweh's truth to govern his house, he is not even a man. He's not even a man. He made man and he breathed the breath into him. And he became the viable power of the living instruction of Yahweh. He had all he needed. Sure he did. And when he began to turn his mind away from Yahweh, he was seduced and taken under. And now we are suffering the burden of that sin, of our rebelliousness against Yahweh. So any man that is of any value and strength is a man that keeps the power of Torah, the power of Yahweh's Ruah to govern in his house. And everything falls in alliance with that. Not men today. They go by emotions and feelings. They go by the stench of the foulness of the flesh. They cater to flesh. That is not Yahweh. It's a wicked thing. It's vile. Mothers today, they are moved by emotions and things and feelings. It is not of Yahweh. He has a Torah. He has a way. And all of your ways seem right, don't they? The ways of a man, they're pure in his own sight. They're right. Yahweh shows you what's in your Ruah, but he ponders, he weighs the spirit of a man. And he shows him what's there. He shows us we're far from him. He shows us we're not in his bosom. He shows us that our love and our affection is not for him. And that's why he warns us constantly and show us what scripture says, that we may find ourselves in the midst of scripture. It's very easy for us to find someone else, isn't it? I'd rather find me there. I would. Because I know if I find me, I am a son. I'm a son. And I will know I'm a son because every son that Yahweh receives, he chasteneth, he corrects. And so every time he receives us, he corrects us. Every time. He doesn't have to look for anything, has to look for anything that is wrong with us. It's already there. He sees it. The stench. He doesn't need to. He didn't have to. He knew what was in their heart, didn't he not? He knew that their idols and their own stumbling blocks. We are a generation that love to accuse someone else for causing us to stumble. We are people that because of our own bitterness and our wickedness and our own stumbling blocks, you can't even move in the Ruah of Yahweh. And what a sad commentary. Yahweh will not change. He says, I will judge them, I will answer them according to the multitudes of their idols. He said, for what reason? Verse 5, that I may take the Bayan of Yisrael by their own left now, because they are all strange. A strange thing. They are prostitutes. They're prostituting themselves with all kinds of idols and gods. And that's what they're doing today. That's why Yahweh, because he has allowed this Jezebel to be set up in this nation, Hollywood, the deceiver, the bewitcher. And everything goes to Hollywood. I don't care if it's MC Hammer, the 50 Cent, whoever it is, they all go to Hollywood. And they all must be anointed by that witch's power. And they all must be anointed to deceive the minds of the masses and the multitude. And the simpletons, what they really are, they're simpletons. They're simple people. Oh, you simple ones, how long will you love simplicity? How long will you love to be just simple and foolish? Don't you want to be wise? So everything goes through Hollywood. Every fashion, every design, every kind of style, everything goes through Hollywood. And she has her witch's wand, and every one of her idols or her gods must be anointed to go forth and to deceive. You all go to the library. You all look that up. Hollywood. And look up what the Hollywood tree signifies, okay? Do a little research on that. Hollywood. Hollywood. That's why it is so synonymous with Christmas and the pagan celebrations. I looked at some of the witches' wands, and the most expensive ones are made out of holly. Hollywood. And they cast their spells. And that's what she has done. She has cast a bewitching spell. They will take nothing and bewitch the minds of the people and make them something or an idol before the people. They will take a Jezebel out of whoredom and make her esteem or a goddess to the people. They will take a drug dealer, a crackhead, a murderer, and put him on some penny shoes, not tied up. Pants falling off his buttocks, and they will wave the magic wand, and everybody recognizes him. The name becomes synonymous. It becomes something in the homes that everybody, the daddy knows, the mama, the child, everybody knows. And it's nothing that they have special features, anything like that. I can see if they were men of massive stature and men that are what we call distinctive character, they have nothing. It's not based upon that. It's not based upon looks or physical looks, anything like that. It's based upon the willingness of the heart. And when they find that willingness in the heart of those, they ordain them and anoint them, and they send them forth as gods to deceive and to bewitch the minds of many. Teaches you how to raise your children. What is to be the inspiration of their own heart? That's why they're giving over onto television so much today. I was talking with a brother the day, and he said, you know, Pastor Roberts, I used to look at that thing so much and so many movies, and I would sit there after I finished and wonder, why have I done this? All day long, I would sit there and I would be consumed with that. Come on, brothers and sisters. If that can consume us to that degree, we have a hope in HaMashiach, and that doesn't even resonate in our minds in the course of the day. Don't you know that we have been bewitched and we are twisted in our thinking? If we can give that much time, and we have given that much time to something that has altered our ability to think, has twisted and transformed our minds to manipulate them. And Yahweh gives us a government, a Torah that teaches us and renew our mind and renew our Ruah, that we will have an affection and love for Him, and we trade that all for something that is bewitching us. Something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong with us. Oh, I don't believe Yahweh will do that. Let us see what Scripture says, all right? If you don't believe that Yahweh will set up things that will deceive the deceivers and bring them into greater captivity of deception, let me read on then. He says in verse 6, therefore say to the Beit of Israel, the house of Israel, this says the great sovereign Yahweh. He tells them to repent and turn yourself from your idols and turn away your face from all of your abominations, of your ritual practices and your ritualisms. He said, turn away from that. Repent. What is that? Just to say, I'm sorry? It is a mindset in our heart that is so deeply moved that when one truly repents, they will not do that again. They will not practice that thing again. We practice our hatred. We practice our dislike. We practice our animosities. We practice that. We practice that what we favor. We practice that what we despise. It is not of Yahweh. If you think you're going into the kingdom, I'm telling you something tonight. You have deceived your own self. You have deceived your own self. You're not going into the kingdom of Yahweh. Period. We have the pseudos telling you are. We are the pseudos that tell you what you want to hear. We are the pseudos that fill you with trash and folly. But Yahweh said He's going to fill us with His Ruah. He's going to pour out a new wine. He's going to pour out something that's going to cause us to rejoice when we hear His truth. We rejoice over trivial folly. We rejoice over gossiping and foolish things. We like to hear things like that. I was reading Sister Roberts an article that this woman wrote. I was telling Deacon Benny about it. I want you sisters, I want someone to read it to you sisters, all right? And she's a woman just like you all. I want you to hear it though. And she will tell you about you. And it's good what she says too. And you'll find yourself in that too. That is what Yahweh is doing. We're finding ourselves here. I'm not looking to find my neighbor here. You better look to find yourself here. And if you don't find yourself here, then He's not even dealing with you. He's not even dealing with you. He says in verse 7, For every one of the Beit of Israel, or of a stranger that sojourns to Israel, which separate himself from me. You've never done that, have you? He said, all the Beit of Israel, now you have separated yourself from me. We are people that separate ourselves from Yahweh. It is your transgressions. For we know sin is a transgression of the Torah. It is your sins, your transgressions, that has separated you from Yahweh. How we uphold that which is wicked and which is corrupt. And yet we don't uphold that which is good, which is righteous, which is tough. We will sustain that which is corrupt, full of foolishness and lies and deception. But that which is full of truth, we will not sustain that. We don't want to hear those kinds of things. We can spend hours talking about nothing. And we don't have 10 minutes to talk about something. And everything in the book is about something. It deals with something that's in you. We don't want to deal with that. How we get animated and we become very awake, awoken, when there is something about your neighbor, about your brother or your sister. But when it speaks to you, you don't become animated. You become very angry and hostile, don't you? You don't want to hear that. Yahweh says, I'm going to deal with you according to your idols, your transgressions and your sins. It is your stumbling blocks. It is what you have put before you. It is those things that you have placed before you that separated you from me. It is my sins, your own transgressions that separate you from Yahweh. What do you mean? You have no time for scripture. 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 Now something is wrong. You have time to walk, time to worry about your physical being, and no time for scripture. You got time for play and gossip, but no time for scripture. You got time for frivolity and folly, but no time for an intimate interceding with Yahweh. Something is wrong. You got time to lie and no time to repent. You got time to gossip and no time to meditate. Something is wrong. Oh, I know we don't want to hear that, but that's all right. I have no problem with you not wanting to hear that. This I will speak as the unction utter it out of me. I will not hold nothing back for no one. I don't feel no pity for us, for any of us, because I have too much. I got too much. I can hear. I can understand His purpose. I got bread to eat. I will not. Period. Our circumstances are light. We have no difficult circumstances. It's amazing because that assistant in Ghana, she writes me all the time because she knows that somehow she senses with this little people here that somehow we have some sensitivity that she needs a piece of bread. And she doesn't want to do anything to alter that, that she will get a piece of bread. So she knows that the livelihood of her living, to have a piece of bread. And if I tell this man I love you so much, she calls me daddy. Tell mama, Sister Roberts, I love her. Tell all the saints. Tell all the community, I bless them. I thank you so much. She understands that. So she wants to say things and to be very careful with her words that she doesn't want to offend me. Well, she doesn't offend me because I even get on the sister. You mean you do that? Well, certainly I do. I tell her. Sure I will. Why would you do that? Because Yahweh will always do that. I'm not doing that to be hard on her. But I'm not going to take care of Hogana either. Because I can't do it. I'm not going to try to feed her extended family. I can't do it. And we cannot do it. But we will make sure she has bread for her and the children. And I say that to her, I will make sure you have bread for you and the children. That's it. I can't do it. I can't. Neither can you. You cannot. But she has an understanding that I know that there's a door open here. And that's what Yahweh is trying to do to us. Let us know that there's a door open. And yet we don't want to walk in the door. We want to walk around the door. Let it be some door of folly or foolishness, we walk right in. Be some door filled with sin and lies, we walk right in. Some door perverse ways, we walk right in. That's the way we are. When it comes to dealing with our own inabilities and our own sins, we want to shun that. We don't want to hear that. But Yahweh said, I got something for you. He said, you have separated yourself from me, and you have set up your idols in your own lab, And you have put the stumbling blocks of your iniquity before his face. And now you come to the Navi's to inquire of him concerning me. You come to him and say, tell me what Yahweh says. I want to hear from him. I want him to speak to me. And Yahweh answered, and I will answer him. He said, I'll answer them by myself. You move back. Yes, God. He said, I'm going to answer the people by myself. And I will set my face toward that man. He means what he says. He said, you have your idols, your stumbling blocks, your iniquitous ways. You're going to come to that point. You're going to come and you're going to need me. He said, I'm going to set my face against you, man. You're going to weep. You're going to cry when your agony and calamity come upon you like a whirlwind. He said, you're going to call upon me. And Yahweh said, I will not answer you. And we don't get answers from Yahweh in this generation. We can't even hear his voice. We are perplexed people. We are so uncertain. We are full of doubt. We don't know. We're not sure. I'm sure. Why? Because there's only one thing that constitutes the righteousness of Yahweh. One thing. And you will know that you're walking in the righteous Torah of Yahweh. Can I tell you? Will you believe me? It is one thing that his righteousness is expressed or examined from faith to faith. And it is established that those that are righteous, the just, shall live by faith. They live by the emunah of Yahweh. Where a man has the righteous power of Yahweh, he lives by faith. He doesn't live by what he perceives or what he sees. He lives by the emunah of Yahweh. And we're a generation that doesn't live by that. Why? Because we don't believe what he says. And what he says has no value to us. And that's why we are very unrighteous people. The heart is unrighteous. Why? Because the mind is wrong. That's the sign of a righteous man. He lives by the emunah of Yahweh. He lives by faith. He trusts Yahweh. Regardless of the circumstances, situation. There's a generation that doesn't trust Yahweh. It doesn't love Yahweh. Our hearts are given to idle things. Our hearts are given over to things that are not even valuable to us. Our thoughts are given over to things that consume our minutes and our hours and our days of nothing. And they never produce anything. Never produce. They never produce a kindness or love or an affection. It's a generation that has no affection. Has lost it. We've seen that here. I don't care whether you all appreciate what I say. We've seen that. They have no natural affection. Not for mama, daddy, kinsmen. Makes no difference at all. Period. No affection today. Period. Very little of that. We are people that are so superficial. Do you understand? He's dealing with the people of hypocrisy here. He's dealing with the people that show them their own hypocrisy and their falseness. That's what he's dealing with. To show you how false you are. To show you your hypocrisy. That's why he said, I'm going to answer you according to your own idols and your own iniquitous ways. You want to inquire of me? He said, I will talk to you face to face. Let me see if you can answer me. He said, I will set my face against that man. And I will make him a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people. Now Yahweh says he's going to do that. He's going to cut them off from the midst of his people. He said, I will cut them off from the midst of my people. And the reason I will do that, and you shall know that I am Yahweh. He said, I'm going to cut them off. And you're going to know that I'm Yahweh. You will know that I'm the great sovereign ruler. We don't know who he is in this hour. We don't know. We don't believe that's him. Because we have a mindset that he must do things our way. And we will tell him the hell's way for him. That's how our hearts speak to Yahweh. Reject him. We defy him. Because there's no love for him. You all kid yourself all you want to. All right? You play with yourself like you play with a little play toy. And to be superficial with yourself. No. I want him to speak the truth to me. That's what I want. Well, why you want the truth of his Torah? Because I know that is the only thing that makes my mind over. It creates in me a new mind and the right ruah.
That's what it does. It makes. And the truth, the events will make. Make. We must continue in the word of Yahweh. And as we continue, as we walk this way, we will become true disciples of Yahweh. And then only then shall we know the truth. And then that's when the truth makes us free. We must continue in the way in order to be disciples. You've got to continue in a discipline in order to be disciplined. You must continue in a discipline in order to be disciplined. You must continue in a discipline in order to be disciplined. I've said this one thing to us all, that every diet works. I don't care who it is. And there are over 10,000 diet plans that are registered over that. And every diet works. Every diet, I don't care what it is, it works. The thing that it takes to make it work is discipline. And we all miss, or we lack discipline. We lack that facet, discipline. And discipline is having the mind, the will to be governed. And we must be governed by the stipulations of that diet. So you always say, you must be governed by the stipulations of my Torah. And the reason our lives are not productive and fruitful is because we're not disciplined by the Torah power of Yahweh to govern us. I don't care what diet it is. If you do it right, it will work. I don't care what it is. It will work. Because it has worked. It takes discipline. And discipline is bringing the mind and the will subject. Whereby the mind and the will say, well, I want hot dogs. And the diet said, you must have a steak. It's a discipline. It's a government of the will and the mind of man. It's taking a law that works. And we know that the law works. But it takes the mind being subject and disciplined by that law. And then you will begin to see the fruit of it. So it works. And everything that Yahweh says works. It is just that we are not willing to be disciplined by Him. We're not willing to let Yahweh discipline us. We will discipline ourselves, will we not? Because we are undisciplined. And our discipline is undisciplined. We're very undisciplined people. Can I show an example? You're up one day and down the next. You twisted this hour and you flaky the next. You folded this hour and you forced the next hour. Yahweh is the same, is He not? Does He change? He doesn't change. And we change, don't we? His Ruah never changes, alright? We get the true power of His Ruah. We will walk as HaMashiach walked. Did He do all things to please Yahweh? Then we will do all things to please Yahweh. Did He obey Him according to the Torah? That is how He pleased Him. And we must see what Torah teaches. We must understand the power and the Ruah of the Torah. And HaMashiach gives us that enlightenment of that. And we cannot reject that. He said, I want to do this and you shall know that I am Yahweh. And if the Navi, the prophet, be deceived, if he is deceived, when he has spoken a thing, I, Yahweh, I have deceived the prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him and I will destroy. Do you hear that? He's going to destroy the prophet, him from the midst of my people, Yisrael. Now, why did He send a deceived prophet? Why did He send someone to deceive them? Because their hearts were full of idols? So that's why, men, I was listening yesterday to some sound bites of Benny Hinn. I said, Yahweh, this is an ignorant generation that is so stupid. Benny Hinn, when he goes places, there's one hotel, I believe he lives and he stayed in Switzerland somewhere. When he was on a crusade, that's what it was, a crusade. And the hotel cost, do you all hear me? No exception. No discounts or anything at all. It cost $10,000 a night, period. He leaves $1,000, $2,000 tips, $500. That's the way the man spends money. He prophesied that Arafat Hassad will sign a peace agreement with Israel. Watch what I tell you. He prophesied that Fidel Castro, his health will go bad and he would die. I read an article the other day that the doctors that examined old Fidel say he may live to be 130 years old. Very vibrant, strong. He prophesied, now this dog now, and the people They buy these pseudos because he doesn't deal with their corruption and their sins. He said he was going on a crusade to Nairobi and there would be 5 million people to come. Hardly 5 million people. He said that he got a call from this prophetess, she's a Jezebel, said that, and I believe that, quote, Jesus is going to be on stage with you. He's going to appear with you, unquote. I have no problem with that. No whatsoever. He said that Catherine Kuhlman came to him. Now you understand what that is, don't you? The scripture calls it what? Necromancing. Do you understand that? Scripture calls it necromancing. Do you hear me? These are men of hell. In this stupid world, they buy it. He takes in over $100 million a year. Over that. $100 million.